Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? It is a beautiful day. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. Let's see. Let's start with 176, please, and let's stand. 176. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day, the sunshine, Lord, the warmer temperatures, the spring season, your beauty, Lord, even though tainted with sin, it shines right through. Thank you for the opportunity to come here to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for setting aside this day, Lord, for us to recognize what our Savior did for us. Thank you, Lord, for his teachings here on earth, the brutal beatings that he went through, Lord, the ultimate hanging on that cross, Lord. They took his body. They put him in a cave, Lord. They covered it with a stone, but it wasn't enough. Lord, I just thank you so much for our Savior, that we that know him as Savior know that he lives today. He is here. He lives within us. Thank you for that truth that we can know. Lord, we know your time is short, and it's coming soon, Lord, when you're going to return. But we pray, Lord, that we would be vigilant, standing for you, and, Lord, that we would remember always to thank you for what you did for us. Lots of sick folks, Lord, yet, but we got a good number out here today, Lord. Anticipating a little time in your word with our pastor, Lord. Guide him, Lord, direct him, keep him strong, Lord, and make him strong for what you have for us through him. Lord, I pray it speaks to each and every one of us today. And Lord, that message might tear a heart open, Lord, for you, and that person might make a decision for you today, Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we continue. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 155, please. 155. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Sing the last. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Calvary. One more song. 377, please. 377.
Yeah. today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you. Let's see. Announcements for the week. First of all, our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. Finish the day off, folks, here at church. Come around here at 6 o'clock. Come and dine with the risen Savior, John 21 tonight. Wilton Bible Study is on the 20th of April. Iron Sharpens Iron is on the 22nd. Personal Evangelism is on the 18th. Women's Bible Study, the 11th and 25th. And we have a deacon meeting scheduled for this week on the 13th. And our work day is coming up, so don't forget, bring a rake with you when you do. April the 15th. Jason.
And workday supply list is on the back table.
Hmm.
All the people are done for workday so that you know what we need here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Pastor Thought of the Week, take time to ponder the power that flows from the resurrection. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Dale, about workday. Here's that lobby. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll start this Saturday at 8:30 and begin the day. We'll have coffee and refreshments to get started and get energized for the work and activity we're going to do. And then 8:45, we'll have a devotional there. And 9, we'll start our first work session, go to 11, have a break time there if you need it. And then we'll about 11:20, we'll begin again, 11:30, I should say, and go to 1:30. But you can stay longer if you want to help complete the project so we can get done. So that'd be great. And as Lonnie mentioned, we have a list of items you can bring. The ones I had circled was rakes, of course, of all kinds. If you have one spare, you can bring along. And shovels, we'll need a few of those. And also, if you have hand trimmers to trim the trees and bushes out here north of the church. And if you have a tarp, you can share, also bring that along. And so, yes. Wheelbarrows. I know two of those would suffice, but to go along with that, and have a little humor here, Jason agreed that he was going to have a shoveling contest for me. So we'll see who can fill a wheelbarrow the quickest. But kidding aside, we look forward to doing that, and hopefully we get most of it done. Last year we was able to get our whole list done, but we have a few more items this year. So anyway, hopefully we'll have good weather and be able to get that taken care of. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to come to your house today. Lord, it's because of the ultimate love of our Father that sent our Savior here, Lord, to die for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can recognize what he did for us again here today. We have a time now, Lord, before us that we're going to try to give a small portion back to you, Lord. We can't outgive you, Lord, but we can just give you a small part, recognizing who you are. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Be it the gift and givers, we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Autumn's going to come sing for us.
Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. The song I'm going to sing for the Lord today is called Behold the Lamb, the Victory. I will give the disclaimer that I'm not an expert pianist, and I'm learning and practicing all the time. As an adult, not as a child, it's easier for children to learn instruments. But this today will be an offering to the Lord as best as I can do, and I hope it blesses you as well.
Behold the Lamb. Thank you, Autumn, for that great reminder and memorialization of the living Savior. Greetings this morning in the name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to welcome all of you here to our Resurrection Day services. By the way, we hold these every week of the year, 52 Sundays a year, and that's what it's all about. I want to tell you this morning, the church is not a mausoleum. It is a place of the living and victorious blood-bought sinners in Jesus Christ to gather to celebrate his resurrection. Hallelujah, praise God. This is a great day to be alive, folks, and alive in Christ in particular. I'm going to do something a little unusual this morning. I see a lot of people that are visiting with us today. I'm so thankful for that. And I see a lot of people that I knew when they were a lot younger. And I tried to get around to most everyone before the service. But we're going to take just a minute this morning to just greet one another. Go ahead and talk to one another for just a couple minutes before we start this service this morning. This is a great day, again, to rejoice in Jesus Christ and to give him great glory and honor that he so justly deserves. So it's fine. Just talk to each other. Welcome each other. We're glad you're here today. Aaron, again, glad to have you today. Yes, Brother Marlin. Barb Salzberger, an answer to prayer. Judy, greetings. Jason, good morning. Morning, preacher. Deb, good to see you. Shane. Hey, Bill, good to see you today. Teresa, happy Resurrection Day. Julia.
You too.
Hey, good morning. Good to see everyone. Good morning. Praise God. Excuse me. Praise God, Larry. Pray me through it, brother. Morning, Dean. Praise God, Shirley. Amen. Well, good morning once again to everyone. By the way, come and join us every week here. This is a place to celebrate the resurrected and living Lord. I do have to ask someone, though, this morning, would anyone in here be a FedEx driver this morning? Hopefully you all saw our greeting there on the door. Anyway, but we're glad you're here today, and I trust today that the message will be something that the Holy Spirit will use in all of our lives to encourage us. And I want you to know this, that Jesus wants you to be encouraged today. He didn't come for a funeral when he died. He came to die and rise again because he loved us enough that he took our sins and our punishment in our place. And he wants you and I to walk with him and have our sins forgiven and to be in a personal walk with him, not just in this life, but he wants that for all eternity. He wants the good stuff for you and me. That's what Jesus came for, because he loves us. Now, I'm going to have trouble this morning. I may start to cry, because what Jesus did for us is dynamic, folks. It's not mundane. It's splendiferous. So today I greet you, and I want to tell you this, that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's worship and adore the risen Savior today and every day. I woke up this morning about 5:30, and the eastern sky was just beginning to glow. I know a lot of people don't get up early in the mornings, but I'll tell you what, Jesus shows himself from sunrise to sunset and all the way through the night. He is there, and it was dynamic. I thought this morning Jesus rose on a morn like this. When they went to see the tomb, he was gone. He wasn't hanging around for death and the grave. He rose to give us life, and he wants us to be excited too. Sadly, many Christians today are like the walking dead, but it doesn't have to be. Jesus came for our sake. He is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, the title of our message today is, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. Some of you might remember when God encountered Moses at the burning bush, and Moses inquired of him, and during that time that he interviewed Moses and said, I want you to serve, Moses says, who do I tell the people you are? And throughout the scripture, God says, I am. Today we're going to look at one of those I ams briefly as well, when Jesus said, I am the God of the resurrection and life. So join us together today before we go into our preaching for a moment of silent prayer. And I ask today that we consider the resurrected Lord in our lives today. If he's not in your life, he wants to be today. He wants you, before you leave this place, to trust him and to accept the new life that he gave us, that we now no longer be held in the bondage of sin, because he doesn't want that for us. He wants us to have new life and life abundantly through him. Anyway, let's take a moment to pray, to focus our hearts on the risen Lord today. I'll have a short pastoral prayer after that. Remember, though, there's a lot of people hurting today. People that are physically ill, people that are spiritually ill. They need the doctor. And that's Jesus, the great physician, my friends. Think about the people outside of our doors this morning, our walls, your friends, your neighbors, your family members, and place them before the throne of Christ for his help. Let's go to prayer, and then we'll begin. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come before your throne, Lord, help us to shift our hearts to focus on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can even approach you today, Father God, through his mercy and his grace that was shed upon us abundantly, as he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but offered himself as the servant for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. He went there and bore those sins. He died. He paid the ultimate price, death. Sin is worthy of death, and Jesus paid that in our place. He took that penalty. He shed his blood to cover our sins, to remit that, so that when you see a soul who has trusted Jesus, your Son, and the blood's been applied, you see the blood, and they get the pass, because Jesus was the Passover lamb for the sins of the world. Now, Lord, we celebrate that today. I'm not crying here out of sadness. I'm crying out of emotion, Lord, about what a mighty day this commemorates. And, Lord, I just pray today that you'll be active in the hearts of people, that your Spirit will be calling people or admonishing us, Lord, to get right with you, and to realize that you're not here to whip us or punish us, you're here to love us. And we want to walk with us personally, day by day. Now, I thank you, Lord, for all that have come through the doors this morning, but I always pray for those that haven't. And Lord, we know in our own number here, we have many that are not well physically, but we also have plenty that are not well spiritually, Lord, and I include myself in that. And so we're here today to see the doctor, Jesus, and to get a checkup. And Lord, we thank you that we don't even need an appointment. We can just come to you at any time. That's how much you love us and how available you are to us. I pray today, Lord, the Spirit would be active in the hearts here today, and that there, if there's decisions, Lord, that need to be made, that people wouldn't take another step from this place before they do so. Now, Lord, I pray for our community around us, for the people that are passing by out here on the street this morning. They see the lot filled with cars. I pray, Lord, that you would motivate them to come and gather with the victors, the victorious ones, not the walking dead, but those that are living by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you again that we've been given another day of your grace today and another opportunity to get it right with you. Now, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd bless the preaching. And Father, you know what you're dealing with me up here, which isn't very much. But Lord, it's your stuff, and I ask that you'd help me to bring it forth, that there might be a change today, Lord, in our lives. We don't come here just to exercise sitting in the seats and so forth, but this is real stuff, Lord, about you, the living and risen Savior. Bless our time, I pray, and may we be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friends of the risen and living Savior, the Bible and even secular accounts of history. By the way, if we don't understand and be admonished by what's taken place in the past, we are doomed to repeat it in the future. I want to tell you, though, this morning, Jesus is not going to go back on the cross and die again. He's not going to be raised again because he's been raised once for all. He died one time for sins. And folks, the resurrection is one of the most important focal points of all history. And if we miss it, folks, we're going to be doomed to repeat what our ancestors, Adam and Eve, did in the Garden of Eden when they failed to listen to God's grace that was spoken into their ears and disobeyed him. My friends, this is a day of great significance in history itself. Both secular and the biblical account talk about a man named Jesus. By the way, he was more than a man. He was also God. He was unique to all things. That's Jesus. That's the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible doesn't work in the ways that we think. He works in dynamic ways that we can't fully comprehend. So you ask me this morning, do I understand all the things about the resurrection? I understand the mechanics of it. I understand what is written. You can understand that too, but I can never understand what was behind it all. Because I know this, that a human cannot raise another human back to life. The dynamics that were taking place here at the cross, and in, and even in the birth of Christ, and all things of God, are beyond our comprehension fully. But I believe it by faith, my friends, because the evidence is there. The evidence is there if you want to see sound evidence. But let me just go back to my script here. He was put to death. There was a man named Jesus that was put to death on a cross. By the way, the cross was the Roman government's form of torture. It's where criminals paid for what they had done. Jesus was not a criminal, but he bore the sins of all of us criminals in our place on Calvary's cross. You can read the account in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 will be there briefly today, very briefly, because our time is rapidly diminishing here in just a moment. But understand that there were witnesses, and there were many witnesses that saw what happened and saw the resurrected Savior. But on the third day he rose following his death in a miraculous transformed body that was recognizable but unlike anything known to man before or since. As you and I sit here today, we acknowledge, even though we've done, probably I haven't, but in many of your cases, you've put a lot of effort into yourself this morning. But let me assure us all one thing. We're not perfect. And our sin has made us ugly. Seriously, this is not picking on anyone in particular, but the sinful way that we are made up in the relationship to our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother Adam and Eve, it's ugly, folks. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't go in front of the mirror today. We can acknowledge that. But through Christ, we can be made whole. There will be a day we won't have to stand in front of a mirror when we're with Jesus in eternity with a new resurrected body for the believer, because it'll be perfect just as Jesus' body was perfect. Hallelujah, praise God. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, only tears of joy. See, this is what's coming because of Jesus' resurrection. He had a miraculously transformed body that was recognizable, but like anything known to man before or since. The reason I can say that this morning is because there has not been the resurrection event that's taken place. Jesus is the only one that's been resurrected with a new body. That is yet to follow for all believers in a future date when he returns for his people and some other events in the tribulation period and so forth that are to come. But believers will enter for all time into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity in a new glorified body that was given in the prototype that is Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to walking through a wall and not getting hurt. Some of you may have tried to walk through walls. I have too. And it hurts. But that's what we have to look forward to. Who's down about this morning? And if you're thinking, if you don't have that assurance in your life, you can have it right now. And it's that simple, by trusting Jesus, believing what he did. Believing your plight, my plight as a sinner, calling on him, and he'll save you. There's no religion to that, folks. You know, a lot of people don't like to come to church because of religion. I don't either. This is a living faith that is being talked about here, my friends. It's not hocus pocus, say the right things. It's straight dealing with Jesus, the risen Lord. That's where it's at. Anyway, Jesus' resurrection, the Greek word for resurrection is anastasis. Anastasis, and here's what it means. An overcomer raised up from the dead. Jesus is our overcomer. He overcame all this garbage that got entered into this world in Adam and Eve's time for us, and he did it out of love. He's the overcomer raised from the dead. And he is, as I mentioned, the only such case that possessed the uniqueness that identified the term resurrection with the organic foundation that derives from the fact that Jesus is the God of the living. He's the God of life as the source of life and the source of eternal life. You check out Luke 20:38 about that. Resurrection didn't come from any other place. Resurrection came from God Almighty and his Son Jesus Christ. That's resurrection. True resurrection is found in Jesus, is only from him. No other place you can go. There's hocus pocus out there, people that make all kinds of claims. But I'm telling you, folks, there is nothing like Jesus and his unique resurrection. Nothing. It's only from him. He is the prototype and the standard. No other claims of man can meet the criteria that Jesus left and set. True resurrection to eternal life from death is a miraculous operation of God that is unexplainable in totality to the human mind. Like creation and the other works of God, it can only be accepted by faith or rejected by lack of faith. Where do you and I stand this morning on that subject? I've already told you where I stand. I believe every bit of it, that it's true. I haven't seen anything else offered to me that's better. And I believe it was all done exactly as the scriptures say, and as the witnesses say. By the way, this wasn't some bogus thing. If you read in 1 Corinthians 15, we looked at it in our high school, junior high class. There were credible witnesses en masse. And some of them, when Paul wrote that letter to Corinth, were still alive, and Paul says, go ask them. It's called substantiated evidence. And folks, it is there, even nearly 2,000 years away from that event. There is evidence, and that evidence, let me finish with what I'm going to say here this morning, if I can see where I left off again. As I say, like creation and the other works of God, it can only be accepted by faith or rejected by lack of faith in the miraculous work of God. That will be the two persuasions of all mankind. I believe by faith and solid evidence, and here's the last thing, by living personal experience that Jesus lives in me today. If you've been born again by that blood of Jesus, you know today that you're alive in Him. And I want to say this, if you don't have that confirmation and that assurance today in your life, today's the day you can receive it by going to the Savior and personally dealing with Him about you, your life and your situation, and receiving the Holy Spirit, being saved, being delivered from your plight, again, of destruction. We're all on a default path to destruction in the lake of fire, but Jesus will save you from that today, and He'll give you that assurance and that experience of new life in your life today. Solid evidence and a living personal experience in the resurrection of Jesus as my living Savior. Two little points today. I'm going to have to do a lot of slicing and dicing. But the concept of resurrection and its power is always tied to the God of the Bible, and it points to the prototype who is Jesus. I'm going to go over this quickly. I'll give you the references. You can jot them down if you want, or you can talk to me sometime or listen to the recording of this on the website. But there are three resurrections mentioned in the Old Testament and a few resuscitations. I'll let you talk about that. But three resurrections mentioned in the Old Testament that in part show God's power, but not to the caliber of Jesus' resurrection. Because there's one key thing in all the resurrections that you find in the Bible, with the exception of one being Jesus. They died once, they were brought back to life, but what happened again? They all died except for one, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, never to die again. That's the thing. But listen, what we're talking about here points to Jesus. You know, God doesn't do anything, boom, just like that, without giving people warning. We don't know the exact history, but I believe this. The earth is probably in the vicinity of 6 to 7 to 9,000 years old at the most. Yes, I'm a young earth creationist. I believe God is close to us. We're not millions and billions of years old. This is a close thing. But God warned people. He's given people warnings in advance all the way along, and He's showing us what's going to happen. How much longer do we have? Well, we don't know for sure, but we know that God's also given us warnings about that, that the time is growing shorter every day to when He's going to work His end times program. And I'll tell you what, folks, the evidence of it is all around us today in our world. Jesus is coming again. He's not in that tomb. He's alive. And when He comes again, there's going to be finality and judgment that comes with Him. Because He's going to deal with this thing called sin once and for all, but He dealt with it for you and me today on the cross, if we'll accept it. Here it is real quick. Under the prophet Elijah, there was a young boy, 1 Kings 17:17-24. Under the prophet Elisha, sometimes we get those mixed up. Elijah came first, Elisha came after Elijah, but they had some connection there as the baton was passed off. Under Elisha, it was the Shunammite woman's son, 2 Kings 4:17-37. And then at Elisha's grave, after Elisha was already dead, a man died and was placed in his grave, touched his bones, and he revived. 2 Kings 13:20-21. There's the three Old Testament resurrections. You check me out on that. Now we turn into the New Testament. Jesus resurrected three people. Jesus resurrected three people in the New Testament. Jairus' daughter, Luke 8:41-42, 49-56. You can read these accounts. He resurrected the widow's son in Luke 7:11-16. And today, the text that we are going to look at briefly, he resurrected a man named Lazarus, who was his good friend, a brother of Mary and Martha, John 11. Also, the apostles got in on a little of this too. The scriptures record that Peter was, by God's grace, allowed to see one person raised from the dead, and Paul also one. And there also is this, before someone questions me on it, found in Matthew 27:52-53. When Jesus hung on that cross and died, and the veil in the temple was rent, it says that the graves were open in Jerusalem, and many Old Testament saints were up walking around. The Bible doesn't tell us if they went on with, you know, early on here at that time and had new resurrected bodies in heaven. But if they didn't, they went back in the graves and they are awaiting the resurrection that comes. That's been debated by people for years. It's in the Bible. But resurrection, my friends, is a dynamic event. But as I said, they all died again physically. And maybe some did spiritually. We don't know from Scripture in these accounts if these folks by faith had trusted the God of the Bible in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ in the New Testament. For sure. But we know this, that when we have been, redeemed, we've been rescued, saved, we will no longer face resurrection of the people that are unsaved to go into the lake of fire, but we will be rescued to the resurrection of the living through Jesus Christ by faith. Anyway, but we want to look this morning just briefly at what Jesus said at Lazarus's situation. Now we're short of time. Can anyone remember? Let's recall this briefly. Jesus had a lot of personal good friends, didn't he? And you know what? When he met Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there's a whole thing there to think about when he was welcomed into their house. And we know that Martha was the what? She was the servant, but Mary was the seeker. Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and absorb what he had to say. Martha was the worker. She wanted to serve. She was worried about cooking the meals. And then we had the brother Lazarus. And what happened to Lazarus? Lazarus got sick. And they called for Jesus. And Jesus was about 1.8 miles from Jerusalem, plus another mostly day's journey out in the wilderness in the area where John the Baptist baptized, along the Jordan River. And Jesus said to his disciples, boys, we're going to wait a little bit here. Now, why didn't Jesus get all excited when he heard that Lazarus was sick? Because you know what? Jesus is God. And he was there. He knew the perfect timing of all this because Jesus wanted to convince people that he didn't just get there in the nick of time. He let time run out. Because the Scriptures tell us that Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was 4 days dead. Folks, I hate to bring this subject up before lunch, but unless a body like we have in modern times is embalmed with formaldehyde, we stink because death stinks. When he was laid in that tomb, they were aghast at what they would experience when Jesus says, "Open the tomb." Yeah, let's look at that. From the account in Scripture here, Jesus took his time, not because he wanted to delay things in coming to Lazarus. Again, I need you to read that text, but he did it to show the miracle of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection in him. And he wants that to be applied to your life and mine today. Jesus says in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." By the way, if you're here this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you die, your soul today goes into the presence of the Lord awaiting a body, but the body is placed back into the ground awaiting a resurrection. It's like sleep. Now, I didn't say that about the soul. The soul is conscious in the presence of Jesus. But our bodies, even though they decay, will be miraculously put together in the resurrection. Hallelujah. By the way, if you fear death today, and death is not an easy thing for man to handle because we were never wired for it. But you don't need to fear death anymore today if you have been blood-bought by Jesus Christ and have yielded to Him and He's your Lord and Savior. You don't have to fear this because it's only good stuff that's coming. Oh yes, we may die in a tragic way here on earth, but if we're under Christ's blood, it's not by accident. Whatever death we experience, Jesus will be there with us. Paul says to be absent from the body, boom, is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. We have all these assurances. Anyway, he says, "I'm going to go that I may awake him out of his sleep." And Jesus confirms it in verse 14. He says, "Lazarus is dead." And then Jesus tops it off and says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Jesus, that's not you. But it was. "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Jesus says, this time has been used to show even more miraculously the power of the resurrection. Well, Jesus tells him before he goes in to deal with Lazarus, he says in verse 25 and 26 of John chapter 11, Jesus says, "I am." I mentioned that earlier. I am. Jesus is God. He says, "I am the resurrection. This didn't come from anywhere else. Resurrection is of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Friend, today, if you're under the blood of Christ, you have real life. If you are not under the blood of Christ, you may be yet living in your human life, but friend, you're headed for eternal death. Unless Jesus Christ comes and you have allowed him to save you, you are headed for a resurrection to the lake of fire in bodily form. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me or places his faith and trust in what I am going to do. And even in that case, if people believe Jesus, what he said, who he said he was and what he did, they would be saved, rescued because of their faith and what Jesus is and what he has done. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the whole question that we're here about this morning. Jesus said, do you believe this? I ask you that today. Jesus said it. Do you believe it? Well, you know how this all took place. Jesus said in verse 39, take the stone away. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee? By the way, Mary and Martha both kind of had what for Jesus here. They loved him, but they said, why didn't you come? Well, Jesus came in the right time. Jesus is on time, all the time. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? I ask you, do we believe this morning in this? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. By the way, Jesus prays for us. He was praying for Lazarus that day as well. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you or thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And you know what? It's recorded in verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Do you believe today the power of the resurrection that Jesus showed in the person of Lazarus and in the other people that were risen from the dead? Well, he not only resurrected Lazarus, but he is the resurrection and the true life. Do we believe? Soon we will all see it once and for all. Because the Bible says, other than those that go in the translation of the church without death, and that is alluded to, we could all pray that that might be the case when that'll take place. But apart from that, the Bible says everyone will die. There's only two humans today that have not tasted death yet, and that is Enoch and Elijah. By the way, they were both. Enoch was translated. He just disappeared, the Bible says. He was a guy that walked with God. Elijah went in a tornado. Twister. But you know what? They're coming back to earth in the tribulation period. They will die a physical death, and they'll be resurrected in the streets over there in Jerusalem at some future point. It's coming for all of us, folks. Are we going to face it in faith? Or are we going to face our failures when we pay the price for our own sins? Jesus went to the cross for our sakes. Jesus voluntarily died for our sins. John 19, 30 through 33 gives the account on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried him in the tomb. That's found in John 19, 38 through 42. By the way, Nicodemus is the one we find in John chapter 3 that came to Jesus by night and asked him how to be saved. And Jesus said what? Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Praise God. I believe Nicodemus is going to be in heaven. He was born again. He heard what Jesus told him, and he accepted Jesus, and he got that new birth. Friends, do you have that today? Nicodemus said, do I have to go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, that's absurd. It can't be done. But he said, you need to be born again through the blood and through the water. We need to be born through the water of the washing of the word and the blood of Jesus Christ to new life in Christ. And then we will be afforded that resurrection power unto eternal life. Hallelujah. And then as this account took place, and it's found in the Gospels, but I chose the book of John this morning, Jesus rose from the dead in the resurrection to new life. John 20, 1 through 17. By the way, it's interesting that the ones that were looking for Jesus the most were the ladies. You know what? I appreciate the female gender. You have a toughness about you and a resilience that men run away from. They were the ones looking for Jesus. They're the ones that found the tomb and found that the angel had rolled away the stone. They're the ones that Jesus came to first. By the way, folks, Jesus loves both genders. He has a place and a role for every gender by his design. My friends, listen to what he tells us. You know, but he came. The disciples fled out of fear. But I want to tell you today, don't fear Jesus today. Have faith. We don't have to fear him if we have faith in him and receive him as Savior. Jesus rose from the dead in the resurrection to new life, and he showed more evidence as he met with the disciples. The road to Emmaus, you go through all the accounts, folks, there is a ton of evidence that Jesus is alive today. He did this for us, for me, and for you. Do you believe this today? Folks, I could have preached for a week on this, but I want you to turn in 1 Corinthians to one last verse. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I may change my message plan for tonight, and I think everyone will be okay. If not, there's counseling. And I might not. But I'll tell you this, no matter what we do here at Fruitland, we're going to preach the Word of God. Because we can never go wrong. I can go wrong, and I can go wrong handling it, but if the Word of God is presented, we can never go wrong. But I want to bring us to this conclusion because we're short on time. But here's the thing, folks. Read what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 to the church at Corinth. Paul confirmed the resurrection like an attorney. He proved it. He proved it. And he showed us the witnesses. This is where it said there were over 500 witnesses in one place that saw the risen Savior. But here's what I want to point us to in conclusion this morning is 1 Corinthians 15:57. Because this resurrection of Jesus is a dynamic miracle of the power of God. And it can be applied personally in our lives. Have you had this applied to your life in the new birth that Nicodemus did? Jesus is waiting for you today, and for those that have had the new birth, we are waiting to experience 1 Corinthians 15:57. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I wish we could have had another hour here today to look into all these things in depth. But here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in this verse of 15:57, 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the resurrection, folks. That's the power of the resurrection. It's victory. We don't go out of here a loser today. Oh, we might be under all kinds of things in this life. Persecutions, health issues, all family trouble. I would almost believe this, that in every household today there might have been a little squabble of some kind. I can almost believe today that maybe one of our vehicles wouldn't start. Or like it used to be for me when I had livestock, when I farmed on Sunday morning, the cows would be out. Satan's attacking us. But folks, I want you to know today, Satan doesn't have the victory. He's already beat at the cross and at the resurrection. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and join those that claim the resurrection power today if you don't have it, my friends. That's why you're here. There was no mistake of anyone that came here. God has these things under control. But as I warn us in closing, don't miss this resurrection of Christ. to eternal life, because there is a resurrection as well, to eternal death and punishment in a place called hell in the lake of fire. Jesus doesn't want it for you today, folks. I don't want it. Anyone that's a believer in this room would not want that. Get your head wrapped around that. If you can't wrap your head around the resurrection, wrap it around what it'd be like to be eternally punished in hell. And then revisit the resurrection. And it's there today for the taking. No religion. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's refreshing. Jesus is like a drink of water, cold water on a hot day. He's waiting to refresh you today and set you on a path to eternal existence with Him. Eternal, forever in heaven. Come join the power of the resurrection today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Amen. Let's stand if you're able. You have a handout in your bulletins this morning, and it's also on the screen. I invite you to think about the words of this song. We're going to sing the first and last stanza of this, but it's in Christ alone. By the way, folks, it's all in Jesus. There's nothing else. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father, into fellowship with the Father, but through Him, by Him. That's right, Shirley. Today, He's the one you got to go to, the risen Savior. He's the one that can help you. Let me say this today, folks. As Jesus is calling you today and you are willing to respond, go to Him today. Just talk to Him plainly. Just say, Lord, I acknowledge it. I'm a sinner. I realize You're the power here. You rose from the dead. You conquered death. You took death in my place. I believe You today, Lord. I want to have salvation. I want to be with You forever. I don't want to be separated from You anymore. I want to get rid of this garbage here in this world in my life, and I want to come to You today for a cold drink of water. Friend, if you'll step out to Jesus today, He'll respond to you. He'll wrap His arms of love around you. He'll help you. You'll never be the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we'll become a new creation in Christ. The old things will pass away. Behold, all things have become new. If you need that water today, you come to the living water, the resurrected Savior, Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burned through the fiercest ground and storm. While heights above, what a nest of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Just a moment. Last stanza. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of seated, and before we're dismissed, we're going to sing the refrain. Would there be another person today that wants to come for the cold water of the resurrected Savior before we depart today? Let's sing that. You come today. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever wash me from His hand till He returns or calls me home. Thank you. singing again. We're here every week. And we're glad to have you with us today. I'm going to ask that our deacons would greet folks at the door in my place today. And I'm going to ask today that Denny Wheeler would close our service in prayer. It's been a joy to see you. Let's celebrate the resurrection and enjoy what Christ has offered to us today abundantly.